doing a little reading here to get caught up. We're going to talk about a number of things this hour. Dana Durnford is standing by. Yoshi is on the road. We're going to try and bring you up to date on the radiation issue and how it's sinking ever deeper into our entire infrastructure here. Not talking about bridges and airports and schools. We're talking about the soil, the water, and the air, and the things we depend upon for a reasonable lifestyle, i.e. food. Now, here's a story I just came across. I got to read a little of this. This is interesting. Alex Jones' lawyer says his client is just playing a character in his radio shows as a conspiracy theorist's ex-wife demands custody of children from her unstable husband. This is Monday, April 17th. I guess that's current. Let me see if I can double check this. Yeah, it's current. By James Wilkinson for the Daily Mail, 12:45 Eastern Daylight Time, 17 April 2017. Updated 12:46, 17 April 2017. This is interesting stuff. We've all heard rumors for years. Alex Jones claims he's a performance artist in his InfoWars broadcasts. He threatened to beat up Democratic Representative Adam Schiff in a March 30th program. Kelly Jones, who divorced Alex Jones in 2015, says she's concerned about him. She says the host is unstable and that his kids watch him broadcast from home. And she's worried that the threat against Schiff constitutes a felony. Jones walked back the threat on his show, saying it was just tongue-in-cheek. She wants custody of their three kids, age 9 to 14, whom he's had since 2015. This is quite a sad soap opera. And the story... Right-wing conspiracy theorist Alex Jones is a performance artist who is just playing a character in his InfoWars radio show, according to his lawyer. The remarks were made in a family court in which Jones' ex-wife, Kelly Jones, is trying to get custody of the three kids. He's playing a character, his attorney Randall Wilhite said at a recent pretrial hearing. And all his fans thought he was sincere. He's just a performance artist. Guess it's a cover to try to make the court feel a little more sympathetic toward him. I don't know. Let's see here. Well, there's one thing. Let me stop this. There's one thing I can say about Alex Jones. I don't know of much, if anything, he has said about Fukushima, radiation, the constant exposure to low-level radioactivity in these formerly United States, whether he be playing a performance character or not. He has had an opportunity like we have, and we've done this for you for over 6 years now, to bring the truth to you. And Dana Durnford is standing by up in British Columbia. Hello, Dana.
Yeah. Hi, Jeff.
How are you?
I didn't know that story, so...
But. Yeah. Well, it's part of the landscape.
Alex covered Fukushima and the crew extremely well, man, the first couple of months. Even the first 4 months, 5 months, hardcore. But a couple of years later, they flipped.
What's Fukushima? Oh, I know.
That's fact.
They were really good,
too, man, the first few months.
He got talked to.
The first week, it was crazy good. Yeah. I got so much of what they produced. It was like spot on. When you look back 6 years later, it was spot on, man.
I wish they had kept it up.
They were like me on Overdrive.
Yeah.
And you, right? They were like hardcore. And then all of a sudden, they couldn't find any here. They had a whole new crew working for them. And I'm actually putting together a whole presentation on it. Because I'm sick of it. And so he's selling iodine.
Potassium iodate.
Right. This is based upon Fukushima, though, and the narrative. I've covered some of it before, but I'm going to do a whole thing on it. Yeah, Paul Joseph Watson covered a whole. Watson is spot on too, man.
Watson has really distinguished himself. In the beginning, he was kind of I don't want to say flake because he's smart. He's a smart guy, but he has really come forward and produced some extraordinary videos telling the truth. So I salute that.
On some sides, but he's.
I had him on the program here.
He hasn't come out about Fukushima lately in the last.
No,
couple
none
years
of it. That's the point. None all of them are.
They talk about radium and radon and stuff like that.
It's all misdirection.
Misdirection. I really disrespect people who do that. Yeah.
It's misdirection. It's steering us away from reality, which is we are being literally exposed 24/7, low dose, but it adds up, folks. It doesn't go away. So, yeah, and that's very true. I remember very well what was going on in the beginning, but it all went away. Just went away. Didn't go away
really
here.
I got it in my archive, so.
Yeah.
It's going to come back and haunt somebody, I can assure you.
Yeah.
Well, CDC, they covered the jet streams, they covered the ocean currents, they covered the meltdowns, they covered Reactor 3 really well.
Uh-huh.
And they were the go-to people originally. There was a lot of people out there looking for street creds right away. Were really articulating type, brought in some big hitters, and then they turned out to be sellouts shortly after. And there was just this whole pandering thing going on with the industry. And you've seen their reach and their power and their influences show up as you look, especially when you go back. We live in this world now where, like before it was on TV, you never see it again. Now it's all over the internet. It's stashed here, stashed here. It's on hard drives. It shows up. It keeps popping back up. And so now we can look up and look at a site, any site, and see their narrative for the last 6 years and dissect that and show whether they're honest or genuine or sincere or just clumsy or malicious. Mm-hmm. And that is like we've never seen that in the history of humans on this planet before in any kind of capacity close to it. It's an extremely weird time, useful time to be alive and active.
Yeah, I agree. Yes, indeed. We are now 6+ years away, and I don't know how we are going to come up with a hard science. You've done so much work, but how do we get past the blockade that has been thrown up in your face and my face by organized science that knows damn good and well what's going on here? Now we have this thing going on in Korea with 3 nuclear aircraft carrier task forces going up there. And those nuclear carriers, as you know, have on board a number of nuclear warheads that they can use to send off with their either missiles or their jets and drop them. They're tactical. I don't know. If somebody decides to make an issue of these aircraft carriers, i.e., sink one or two of them and then use it as a false flag to generate a full-blown attack on North Korea, we won't know for sure who sinks them. We're not there. We can't prove it, but we can make a pretty good guess that there's something fishy going on if we watch the situation carefully and closely and pay attention, and which is what we have to do. We can't rely on the media to tell us anything that's true. It won't happen. So,
well,
what do you
think? I mean, they can light it up anytime they want. There's nothing we can do about it.
Right.
We're not in a position. If they light up with nuclear, we'll never know whether it was staged or real. And there's no such thing as real at this stage anyway, because everything is provocative.
Right.
Over the last, Kim Jong-un right now, he wasn't even born when all this started. And all countries were basically dictators in the 1950s and 60s anyway.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like there's, people might say that Roosevelt wanted to go to Japan, but he had to wait for Pearl Harbor. And people will tell you that President Wilson wanted to go to war in Germany, but he had to wait for the Lusitania. And that Johnson had to wait for the Gulf of Tonkin to get into Vietnam. Or McKinley war with Spain over the Maine, the battleship sinking of the Maine. these were all catalysts, the same as Fort Sumter. You know, these were changing moments in history. All of these were based up on staged events.
That's
these
right.
are proven now, yeah.
Yeah.
And Patrick Claussen, you hear him bragging about it at the Washington Institute, which is a think tank for the military-industrial complex, and it's basically an Israeli think tank, really, which most of them are aligned to that.
You got it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's the biggest influence because of the Christian theology Bible. You know, Australian quake rescuers were hit by radiation about 50 kilometers away from Fukushima Daiichi. Just the rescue workers, they had to leave because there was so much radiation.
Yeah.
But nuclear physicists right away had, in May of 2011, had come out talking about how MOX fuel will drop on the U.S. unless the wind does something strange.
You know, they keep talking about the spent fuel pools that are up in the air that are going to blow up if the building falls over or whatever.
Yeah,
they're gone. They don't exist.
I've been scooping it all week. And they're still talking about fuel pools, which anybody don't understand it, there's roughly a couple of decades of reactor cores, and they change the reactor cores every 12 months. Say two-thirds or four-fifths of the reactor core will be pulled out, put into storage pools where it'll remain for decades. And these were at the top of the building, for anybody who's not familiar. And this is multiple reactors in one building going off. And so this is an incredible catastrophic. Just this one little site, 30 million one-ton bags already picked up from it. That's just so they can fake safety and move people into an area. See, you know, maybe they don't want to support them, but they got no right to move people back in, you know? Why is the onus, why would they even consider it? And right
because they don't care. Their whole approach is to ignore and completely distance themselves from reality.
And it's just the same puke machines all the time with this rhetoric. Just, and you can trace them all back to it. Just, they're all nuclear. They're all crazy. It seems like every pro-nuclear is totally batched. Just crazy where you can't reason them or you can't have a conversation with them. Whatever.
Yeah.
The bananas, potato chips, and walking sunshine and commentations. And it's really, I mean, my goodness, there must be a lie out there to utilize something like that, you would hope. But apparently not. I got 6 gag orders. I'm going to be in a courtroom tomorrow. I'll try to get some of these conditions lifted and deleted.
You're under, I thought it was 3. It's 6?
Well, it's 6. Well, it's, yeah, there's 3 people and 3 organizations that I can't talk about. I got a gag order on. So I can't bring up any of those corporations or the 3 individuals. And so, so 6. And then you have all these other conditions on me. Can't pick dandelion unless I got the boat with me. I can't carry a knife around unless I got the boat, basically. And so that's, you can't go get dandelion unless you got your boat with you. But I can I can have a drill. I said I can have a drill with me and a hammer. He said, yeah. So I can't have a knife. Okay. Unless I got the boat, right? Unless I'm out researching.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to fill the boat up yesterday and the weekend, put new lights on it and blah, blah, blah.
What are you planning for this spring and summer?
Well, this is the last one, man. All the whales are emaciated. The birds are all dead or gone, emaciated, starving to death. All the salmon are missing, and they starved to death, too. They were emaciated.
It's like, no, they migrated. I'm sorry. They migrated inland.
Yeah.
You
this
got
gallows
it.
Laugh, yeah. And so, yeah, I need to go out and live stream. Now we got – now, like, see, every year technology doubles and triples, right? And so now, finally, the technology is here that even someone like me can stream extremely high-quality live feed.
Yeah.
And – yeah, I just ordered a new camera, a proper.
Are we gonna have the ability to carry your live feed?
It's gonna be something. It's really gonna be something.
Oh, good.
I mean, we're talking real quality living. We're talking real quality live streaming. So the low tides will do. I think we're gonna have people can pick where they want me to go and live stream too, right? That kind of a
what
trip.
A kick. That's gonna
totally
be great.
Open. We'll go wherever and. Because we got all equipment, basic equipment by far at this stage, and we're very seasoned. And we need to do something to really, we need to fight with everything we got. And I don't know what else to do. I think that will finally, because it's such high quality available.
Sure.
That just showing that whole coastline naked and where all the salmon boats are too, where there's no birds there anywhere to be seen. You get like 200 boats in this one spot, and there's no birds anywhere. And but it's going to be super high quality, indistinguishable from TV. And I got all that nailed down now. It's not like it was last year or the year before, where it was still difficult. Now the technology has finally broke through. And the equipment I got coming, I guess a stupid amount of equipment, but the cameras that are coming are just spectacular.
The wow, you're going to have somebody on board with you to help set the shots up and all that?
Oh, I
yeah,
will.
You,
yeah,
you have to.
No, it's going to be a highball operation when we go out and do it.
So I'll be able to put a window up, and we'll just have it streaming there at any time.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be very nice. Like you say, 4 hours a day at least of streaming from the Otoid Zone.
Wow, terrific.
And yeah, so it's going to be something to look forward to, I think. And because technology has changed dramatically. But I'll be able to feed the drone out live, and I'll be able to feed the underwater camera out live also at the same time. And I do have the equipment and the horsepower to pull that off. And so it's technically going to be really – this is the year for it. And we can't change the ocean. We can't change the fact of what happened. We can change the future, though. We can give people hope. We can – like if the planet wakes up, we'll come up with solutions. But if the planet is asleep, there's only a handful of people. Right,
people don't even know the spent fuel pools don't exist anymore, for God's sakes. Come
that lie is going to blow. Right? They done it to themselves with those lies. They really buried themselves. They can't get away from those lies. And they got to keep telling it. And the more they tell it, the more preposterous, more ridiculous it sounds. And the more people lashing at them now. The six
do you have to, Dana, excuse me, do you have still photos of the plants today, now, showing where the spent fuel pools used to be with a big arrow before
really
and after?
Incredible stuff with that, yeah.
Well, if you want to send it down, I'll post it. I mean, that's just crazy.
Yeah, it's like for sure. There's no, it's seen, like you say, the nuclear scientists out there that have spoken out and said the fuel pools are there. That's got all these academics and media, this is really going to blow up in their face this year. It's just because we have also so many deaths is the way I see it, so many die-offs, and you're going to see a collapse. We're seeing a collapse right now of the whole coastline of all the industries.
And, so tell us more. Wait. Tell us more. Which industries, and where?
It seems to me that the whole coastline of North America, Americans and Canadians are going to do without salmon for starters. The herring, anchovies, the squid, the sardines have all flopped a couple years in a row. The birds have all died off. Fishermen are going out and being skunked. You're starting to see everybody selling licenses and boats. Now, still not understanding, there's still so many people, like you say, the majority of people still totally in the dark. But they're not going to stay in the dark any longer. You can't hide it any longer. And we said that last year because no one expected an accident to have these catastrophic effects. No one expected it to happen, the results to be so... The die-offs to be so wide and so very where everything starves to death. Yeah.
That's right.
Like, I have to stare it in the face all the time because I've done the whole coastline. I have all the documentation of the coastline. I do it 5 days a week hardcore. And to me, see, I can't get away from it, right? I'm like the guy who, I don't know how you would put it, I went to the dark side and seen the dark side. Nobody's ever... in my area has ever seen it before, and you come back and you tell them what it's like, and they're like, they can't wrap their mind around it, but slowly it starts to sink in and permeate. And you don't see you don't see anything new showing up. You just see the same apologists over and over and over for 6 years.
Right.
They're screeching, no, don't look. There's nothing to be looking at.
Don't look. Don't worry. Be happy. Nothing to worry
academics
about.
Academics are speaking up.
The Olympics are coming. Don't worry.
Yeah, how is that going to play out, right? You can't go anywhere near this place because... See, the big lie is where people talk about millisieverts and everybody falls for it, and microsieverts. That's not how you measure Fukushima radiation. We're talking about atomic decays. And so a microsievert is 150 counts per minute, say. But 150 counts per minute is vicious. This is vicious numbers. And we've seen these numbers minimum right across North America. And we've seen the numbers coming in at a couple of 100 million becquerels and liters of rainwater. And, I mean, my goodness, even nuclear testing wouldn't have brought those types of numbers that we know about anyway.
Right.
And then to see the insect world disappear and the microscopic world and see just the worst nightmare of everything starving to death. How can a whale, like a killer whale, starve to death? How can tens of thousands of seals and sea lions starve to death? And when you, you know, when you're someone like myself or yourself who really went in deep on this subject, you can see it. But to the average person, I can't blame them for not wanting to understand it, but there's no way to. You know, they're so savage out there now in the media. They make fun of the death of the ocean. They make it seem like that's to be expected, and they keep trying to go with this global warming
now,
narrative.
What is the deal with people now? There's a strange fatalistic acceptance about Fukushima. They don't even want to know about it. There's a strange fatalistic acceptance about World War III. Oh, well, it's going to happen. There's no panic. They're not showing anxiety. They're not out in the streets yelling and demanding that Trump pull back the dogs. They don't get it. I don't understand this. It must be some kind of mass mind control, Dana, that's being disseminated through the cell phone tower system, which covers every square inch of this country virtually, and can certainly dominate and put into the minds of over 300 million Americans any idea or thought process or mood or attitude that they want to. And they're doing that.
Right. And so it's usually AP and Reuters come out with the story, and then you'll see the exact same picture and the same headline and the same author show up. In Canada, 1,600 medias will immediately parrot it and regurgitate that exactly same story. So everybody got the same picture, everybody got the same narrative, and that's good enough. For most people, they don't want to read it. They just want to read the headline. And the headline is always, you know, pro this, pro that. And meant to excite people into one direction. And then there's the people that are really hooked onto Fox and CNN and these just despicable commentating. These are commentators, but they're war machines. And so that narrative shows up everywhere and you can't have a conversation. And so I gave up on it a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched TV now in 20 years or something. I haven't had one.
Yeah.
And so I was talking earlier tonight where I should
hold
just...
Hold it, Dana. Hold on right there. Well, that's a good place to pause. I have to do a break here. We'll come right back. I haven't watched TV in 28 years. I haven't spent time with it. No. And I survived somehow. Back in a minute. Okay, let's get right back to Dana Durnford, this third hour on a Monday night, which is always the case here. 7,000 African so-called refugees, but they're not, made it to Europe over the Easter weekend. 7,000 more in those big blue rubber rafts, paid for probably by George Soros and his minions. Somebody's paying for those things. So 7,000 more rapists to be turned loose in Europe. How nice. It's a bad scene. And I guess it's getting noticeable up there in many areas, Dana.
Yeah, well, I don't notice it. Got my head down too much, I guess. But
well, no, it's okay. It's good that you don't. Maybe you're not. I'm not talking about blacks. I'm talking about Middle Eastern Muslims. It doesn't matter. The Islamic religion will not assimilate.
There's 29,000 rapes a year in the military, and they're raping probably a million in the countries they're occupying.
That's right.
But, I mean, like, so it's an epidemic each side. MSNBC staff told a host back in August of 2011 to stop talking about Fukushima, about people evacuating because of Fukushima. These were, there was a study of 360 atoms in North America, radioactive sulfur, the sulfur peroxide hydrogen buckyballs, people probably heard me talk about many times,
yes.
From spring salt water, inhaled by Californians after Fukushima. That was
how many was it? How many again?
360 radioactive sulfur atoms. And so you only need one to get a cancer down the road.
And that was per cancer, person, per capita?
Per person per day, yeah, roughly. And it was roughly... I can't remember what the number was off the top of my head now. 1,600 or 1,500 sulfur peroxide hydrogen buckyballs from Fukushima per cubic meter of air at the same time. This was two different studies.
That's ungodly. That's horrible.
Yeah. For the males, it concentrates in the testicles. And so that's why you see the sperm count go right down. CDC had launched Zombie Apocalypse right back at that same time, May the 20th, 2011. And that was Vancouver Sun was talking about it. U.S. officials turned the zombie apocalypse to promote emergency preparedness was based upon Fukushima. You know, there was another interesting one where Obama was told by Kan, K-A-N, who was the prime minister at the time of Japan, that the helicopter's failed water drop was a success. And Obama had come out and said he had complete confidence that they had it under control. And Hillary had allowed food to come in without checking it for the first couple of years. And then all of a sudden, they banned it from 14 prefectures right after a couple of years. But the first couple of years, they let all this highly radioactive stuff that was banned in Japan, they shipped it over here. So they murdered you big time. That's why Hillary was freaking out so hard when she didn't win. They were going to do us big time. And they probably did, who knows, but her crew was going to do the job in a bad way. But you had New York Magazine came out in July, talking about how the backup generators were working to cool the nuclear reactors. These were incredible deceptions that killed a lot of people. Like iodine-131, which only had an eight-day half-life, was found in the sewage in Philadelphia, and to the point where it was contaminating all the sewage, right?
Yep.
But this was many places along the coastline we've seen, but Philadelphia happens to stand out. And so it meant in July, late July, that even then there was a chain reaction going off in America. Everything comes straight across in 3 or 4 days. And so the apologists will come out and say it takes a couple of years for it to get here, but they're talking about the ocean. But the ocean gets here in 45 days at 5 miles per hour. It travels faster than that. The Kuroshia carries it across in 45 days, 24 hours a day, five miles an hour.
12 knots an hour, I think.
Yeah, at some spots, yeah. For a long stretch, a couple of thousand miles.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and so there's just, all I'm trying to just show people is overwhelming evidence and that how all these companies and corporations and go-to organizations, they sold us out and they murdered us in a slow kill, you know, to turn the heat up slowly, so to speak. That was shocking betrayal. And a lot of these people, like the Hitler EPA watch at the time for radiation watch was promoted by Obama up to the head of the air, land, and sea, and water. I can't remember what it was for the Americans. But it was really shocking that here was the person who done the cover-up gets promoted by Obama. Like California, right, there's, you know, it was a drought going on. They had big rains right after Fukushima Monya for the next couple of weeks, right? Big,
right.
Huge rains.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And so rain is your biggest enemy. It rains out. Now, a single plume would go up into the atmosphere. It could take 10 years to rain out. This thing never stopped kicking it out. And the numbers that it kicked out originally, like we started to show off, talking about multiple reactor cores at the top of the buildings.
Right.
When that blew up and caught fire, this was really lethal stuff. People in the Fukushima prefecture were having their hair stripped from their body and were puking uncontrollably in the streets. I mean, there's one street in Fukushima where over the last couple of years, there's over 7 people dropped dead. And just one shopping street in the Fukushima prefecture. Not too far from where they're going to have the Olympics. But, I mean, what's the odds of 7 people dying on one street within a couple-year period?
The whole Olympics thing, you just put your finger on it. I don't understand how anyone who knows what's going on there can actually go as a tourist or an athlete. You just can't.
I don't think it's going to happen. So they're going to have a war or something, I guess.
Well,
but
this is
what you want in North Korea. Well, why not go pick on somebody that can fight back, you know? Why not go pick on Russia who can fight back? Why are you going to pick on this little country where you're going to light up Seoul, South Korea? And, I mean, it's been said they can fire something like 11 million rounds a day or something from North Korea. And you got North Korea. South Korea is right there. If the Americans strike them or Russia or China strike anybody, then, you know, tens of millions of people are going to get evaporated in that area.
Right.
And it doesn't make any sense. Like, if no matter who it is, if you keep someone locked up for 50 years and economic, you know, you, Kim Jong-il says he's going to cause chaos, but America does. America got millions of millions in refugee camps.
Yeah,
it's not,
they could false flag him so fast, Dana. It's not even funny.
Right, so he's good. You got to have a boogeyman, right? 10,000.
Lots of them.
10,000.
Bashar al-Assad, Rouhani in Iran.
Right.
The eastern, in free Ukraine and the eastern part of the country there. They got Vladimir Putin on the eastern European border with Russia. They got it all.
Russia was contaminated, that northern Russia.
Yes, it was.
Eastern Russia, I guess. Northeast.
Biggest country in the world,
heavily,
by the way.
By Fukushima.
Landmass.
China was. North Korea was contaminated heavily by Fukushima.
Mm-hmm.
South Korea and China, because they're all on the Sea of Japan, right? And Japan itself.
Yep.
And then Philippines was hard hit, and it got hard hit by those typhoons that were hitting 235 miles per hour. My goodness, you know, 235 miles an hour, like, what just happened in Australia was probably the most frightening thing I've ever seen. There's people here, Jeff, where the winds got down to 100 miles an hour, and they thought it was pretty good. But they went 30 hours at 160 to 200 mile an hour gust. Mm-hmm. For 30 hours.
I remember.
One guy lit under his table there in Australia last week for 30 hours. And then he got up when the storm finally broke and went to his mom's house, and she had done the same thing and survived it. He said, never, ever, ever seen anything like it. Nothing like that.
Well, you know, that story was not covered over here much at all.
Well, I've been out in 100 mile an hour winds, you know, and mm-hmm. on the ocean, and mm-hmm. going up and trying to get to the bow was incredibly difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Just try to pull yourself down to check the anchor and beach lines was incredibly difficult because of the wind. So what was 160 to a, which is confirmed, 163 was confirmed at the local airport in that area where they were too. But we know for fact it was gusting much higher than that, and speculations from forecasters was a couple of hundred miles per hour, but it would have hit higher than that.
Didn't see any stories over here about it. I'm not saying there weren't any, but I didn't see any.
It didn't show up. I collected hundreds of videos mm-hmm. from the locals that were uploading it. I got nothing from CNN. I got nothing from MSNBC. Nothing from Fox. Well, that's all. I got one from Fox. And it was shocking. Nothing from BBC.
Right.
These are you're talking, there was one guy there, 42 yachts. All of them got sunk. And he's been there generations, right? All of them sunk. Like, look what happened to Haiti last year, where it hit 200 mile an hour sustained wind, and that place is still completely wrecked. It leveled, it limbed, it tore the pavement right off the road there. We've seen it in Fiji. We've seen it in New Mexico, or in Mexico.
It's almost like the jet stream is dropping down, although the jet stream is 600 miles an hour, and God forbid
that
happen.
Anywhere on the planet, and the media goes, kind of reports on it, I scoop it up, and because I understand the value of it. And so I scoop it all up. But it's what? We've never seen it on the planet before. This is Fukushima's, and this is not going to stop. This is only going to get worse. We're going to see winds getting much higher.
That's right.
And so, like, at some point soon, this is really going to hit a big city. We've seen China get slammed with 235 mile an hour winds late last year. That was incredible. They managed to hush that up, and I grabbed a whole folder on videos that showed up. There was some leak in one spot. A half a billion trees were torn off, tipped over.
Wow.
Like,
wow.
This was incredible. Like, big mm-hmm. cities of a couple of million people in China where there was no, you couldn't ride a bike anywhere, let alone a car or something like that, because trees limbed everywhere. And these trees were there for like 100 years, 150 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole part of that country, they buried it. But we got the footage that showed up.
Yep.
And so I was taking the Chinese language on the video and re-looking for that stuff, and then finding other people from those communities were in total shock at the damage, never seen nothing like it.
Right.
And the death of the Pacific is not going to go away. We got the glaciers are disappearing in many countries all of a sudden now, starting to show up. Well, I've been looking for it, and it's showing up in many countries where the glaciers are gone completely or about to disappear. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, what's going on? Nobody's really able to articulate that, hey, you don't suppose it's all that radiation from Fukushima. This is catastrophic because that's the glaciers are the lakes, the streams, the estuaries, and the coastline regulates the temperatures, and the estuaries, the fish, the trout, the frogs, and everything else. Once you take out that ecosystem, woohoo! Yeah. I mean, it's literally a nightmare of unimaginable proportions to see the planet goes silent.
Uh-huh.
I lived in it day after day where you wouldn't see a bird. You anchor all night long. There'd be no birds anywhere. You go and you go ashore each day to get a bath in the local rivers. And it was no spider webs. There was no birds hopping around on the branches, you know, these overhangs. It was really surreal. To the point of, we left food, me and Cherry up there by Bella Bella, we left food on a table outside the tent for 3 days, raw meat, and no animals come by and stole it. We were gone off in the Zodiac doing surveys, and you come back, and we're still sitting there all night long, still sitting there, all night long in the tent, and you would hear no, and the forest is right there, you're right up on the water in the forest right there, and still no animals, and no insects bothering us. That was really, it haunts me constantly. That experience. I don't think I'll ever recover from that because I'm not used to it. I'm used to flies tearing you apart. I'm used to animals stealing everything you got.
That's right.
I'm used to places. Sure. Yeah, you're used to hiding it up high in a tree so the animals don't loot it when you're gone and all these precautions. Sometimes you got to leave someone behind to take care of the campground because the animals will take it on you. And to see that, the whole coastline, the toll, and to understand what's really happening through the media reports of the starvation of the animals.
Sure.
Yes. That's going to come, that's really going to come in everybody's face. It has already. We made sure of that by constantly keeping alive, Jeff. But a war is not going to change it, right, is what I'm trying to say, I think, is a catastrophic
A war is just to feed the beast. That's
what Syria was, yeah.
They
started 6 days
make money.
After.
Yeah.
Jimmy, yeah, and that was the big distraction and a real distraction. I was showing that drone footage from Syria today, and it's just like the creepiest thing imaginable. Here's this community of a million people, and every building is rubble. There's nowhere to go back to. There's nothing there. There's, like, your life is gone. Your graveyards are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like all your family pictures, your heirlooms, you know. If we'd done that to a modern day American Canadian city, you know, every country on the planet would be donating billions of dollars because it was a catastrophic event. But it happens over there and we do it. I mean, we went in Iraq and Afghanistan for 5.5 million rounds a month to get 10,000 Taliban. 5.5. We shot everything. We leveled everything. Right? It's what and the kids that are doing it, I mean, they got to do what they're told or they get shot in the back of the head down there. They get fragged with a grenade or whatever the case may be. This misery machine. And it's just, it won't give it up. It won't go away. It won't. We keep sending our children to join it. We let our friends join it. We're not able to comprehend what's happening. We can only look in reflection and understand there was a mistake sometimes. But we can't seem to look ahead and say, hey, this is stupid. After all this time, even with the enormous amount we have available now at our fingertips, no other generation has ever been able to look at it. You know, we all know how terrible it is, but let's go hit North Korea. Let's go hit these most impoverished places on the planet that live on $1 a day.
They got at least 6 solid flashpoint venues for war. They could keep us just jerking around for years.
They can't really beat up Palestine anymore. There's nothing left here.
No, they're going to expunge all the people this year. Gaza will be vacated. They'll drive them out. Watch.
That's the prophecy of the Bible, what you're looking at there, though. This is they're trying to fulfill the prophecy themselves is what they're trying to do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is totally staged. They're wicked people, what they're doing. And what the Japanese have done, and the nuclear industry in particular, you know, I just want to live long enough to see them pay for what they've done.
I'm not seeing many people held accountable anymore, Dana. I wish I was wrong, but I don't see it. They own the game, so... you know, if they have to, they'll throw a couple of their own out, let them swing in the wind to keep the rest safe and keep everybody looking the other direction. I don't know. There's no accountability. Not much.
They can't hide the death of the Pacific. And
oh, yes, they can.
Not much longer. That can't be done, no.
Not with you.
Not too many people. There's 3 million people, right, depending upon that ocean.
They've been doing
there's
pretty amazing job so far. But you're right. It's got to end. The ocean is dead. The biggest ocean in the world is dead. They found cesium-137 in every ocean on the planet now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, the numbers are terrifying.
Do you know anybody eating fish anymore?
You know, yeah. I can't even remember last time I ate fish. Horrible. And so, like, you can't even trust fish from the Atlantic. Or, from, you know, you just can't.
No.
And it's so wicked because we already ingested so much. And we got to be smart. We got to utilize everything that's available. And we might come up with solutions. They might already have solutions.
Lobsters and such. People eat lobster. They eat shrimp.
Way up the food chain, yeah. People think that, oh, there's fish out there, therefore there's no issue. It's literally the stupidest thing imaginable, but they're lulled into that world.
True. And, yeah.
You know, they I can't blame him for rejecting it. I don't blame people really for attacking me. And I never did in one sense. I get upset about it and, you know, whatever. But I don't, I get where people are coming from. But the professional ones, they're trolls. They know what they're doing. That's different. But the average person who doesn't understand and thinks I'm full of nonsense or thinks I, you know, oh, he's not from Harvard or Yale or Berkeley or Stanford or something like that. But I get those people. I understand where they're coming from, and I don't hold a grudge against them.
Well, you really can't. You know, they just, look.
It's not the people I'm talking
about. No, understood. Yeah.
I'm talking about the institutions, the journalists that could look it up and say, oh, you know, for 70 years I've been saying it's like a banana. It turns out it's not like a banana. How is that not embarrassing and humiliating? See? Well, it's not, because that's the game. Who can sell us the lie the best? That's
right.
Job. Yeah, and that's why they get $8-9 million a year. The big shots in the cable, which is just conjectures, it's commentary, it's not media. Go read the study yourself, folks. Go look up the other narratives. Never conceive, like, and I do that with everything. I look up all the narratives I can find, make up my own mind the best I can,
right,
in the hopes. Right, and so that's why I had 7,000 lectures before Fukushima about nuclear. I fell for it originally. I thought a clean and green and too cheap to meter. It was pretty darn cool, right? I fell for it, man. In one context, right? Because you same lie over and over and over and over and over.
Well, that's what they do. They know the rules. And when you own the media and it comes at the average person 24/7 from every possible media platform, what are they going to do?
Yeah, like the way I see it, I think, is like I forgot how many times I've been privileged or blessed, whatever you want to call it, in every context of that. And, you know, I've never taken it for granted, but I've forgotten because I've, you know, worked to position myself all my life into those spots where that is the order of the day. And I've always been grateful for everything. But I had worked hard my entire life to do things, but I had always been grateful no matter how small it was. And I always seen it as a duty, right, to make sure, you know, that I...
Well, it's a responsibility, it's a duty, it's also a privilege. You have the skills, you have the ability to communicate, you're a person who people listen to, and so you're doing the right thing, and that's what we're all supposed to do. Whatever it is, let's do it to the best of our ability.
Long before Fukushima, I've forgotten how many people I have pulled off the bottom of boats or off rocks or out of the water. Can't possibly remember it. That's the world I come from, where you will give your life gladly so that they don't suffer without some hope, right?
It's a reflex in you because you're what all of us ought to be. You're the guy who saves the other person, wants nothing from it, doesn't even hesitate to reach out. That's what you're trying to do with what you're doing.
No names are necessary.
No names needed. No.
No.
I totally understand.
It's, you know, like I gave away shoes to people that we rescued and clothing for them. And so happy. Just so proud of it.
Sure.
But that's something you don't brag about. It's not something you want to talk about. It's
no,
something
of course not.
There's an incredible amount of emotions attached to it.
Right.
And it's something that is not something you can just go pick up and do. It's something that has to happen. It's the road you got to walk, and it's the test of a lifetime. You know, I've dropped people off on islands. I'll blow my own horn. I dropped people off on islands to go rescue other people because it's too dangerous. And I probably said it before, you know, where they had families and they couldn't deal with it. I've seen people on the deck sliding back and forth the deck talking to Jesus. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, please get me off this boat and I'll never get on the ocean again. And literally just wash them back and forth on the deck, and you got to grab them, bring them inside, and put them in a corner and keep your eye on them because they've lost it. Yes. I mean, totally lost it. I've seen that several times, And so you don't, like, you have this compassion, I guess. But that's something that's built into you. And this is what I see when I see all these animals and all these headlines, all these stories, and all these people, all these comments, and the things like you and Yoshi over the years. And it's just all the people that have spoken out honestly and objectively about this and done the best they could. Not that they're always right.
We can't do any more than that. We just can't do it. If we had control of the mainstream media for even 24 hours, what we could do. Oh.
Yeah. Change the world. And that's what we got to do. We got to end war, end the misery machine, get rid of the GMO.
They're getting ready to ramp it up again. These idiots.
No, we're taking it over. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
I feel that's true. I don't know if it is, but I do feel that is
our
future.
Well, it's a great posture to assume, and it's power of positive thinking. Really can't discount it all the way. Got to keep going. Thank you, Dana, as always, for everything you've done.
Thank you, Jeff. Hugs for everybody. Thanks a lot, Todd. Hugs for everybody. Take care, folks.
Talk to you soon. Mr. Dana Durnford, and he has done a lot. All right, Yoshi sends his best, and we'll be back tomorrow night, 21 hours. Got a good program tomorrow night, as always, and hope you'll be able to join us. Talk soon.